And we've come to the Garden Conversation time because it is almost 8:45. A Garden Conversation is underwritten by Jewel Gardens in Skagway in loving memory of Charlotte Jewel and her vision for the gardens as a community space for peace, inspiration, and education. Hello, we have Melissa. And
good morning, Joni.
And Blythe. Hi, Blythe.
Hey, how you doing?
Welcome, good. Blythe. Welcome. So the weather has really changed since I was on the show, I don't know, 3 weeks ago, I guess it was, August 1st. And today we're going to talk about some of the unique challenges of this very hot and dry year. A little bit about woolly bear control and a correct name on that, and planning for the fall. So it's getting on to that kind of time. So Blythe, what kind of unusual challenges did you have this year?
Well, not so unusual because everybody seemed to be having these problems. So with the water and the heat.
Okay.
Keeping everything watered, especially with the water restrictions, was difficult. And then also a lot of plants that normally do quite well, they were not enjoying the heat, especially the cabbage family. My cabbage and my broccoli just was not happy.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so you have a south-facing garden.
Yes, yeah, full exposure.
And the south-facing people really suffered, I think, a lot with the water shortages.
Yes. Still suffering a little bit there, so.
Yeah, and I have north-facing, so I didn't have the challenges with the dryness as much as south-facing people did. My broccoli's now into fourth crop coming off of it.
Bragger.
But other stuff doesn't do as well.
Right.
But then a few days ago, I got a north wind. We had this crazy north wind, and I never have to fight wind in the summer, you know, and it's one of the few advantages of north facing, and it really blew. And so I was thinking about wind barriers and that kind of thing. So tell us what you've been doing about the irrigation, first of all.
Well, first off, hand watering, of course, that's all we've been allowed to do for a lot of the summer. So lots of hand watering, which takes up a lot of time, and then really watching particularly my fruit trees, you know, actually watching, spot watering those, watching to see if they seem in distress, and going out there and just holding the hose on them and giving them water.
Are you putting little basins around the fruit trees to hold the water?
I haven't. My problem is also that I've got the chickens and the ducks, and they would love a little basin of water. So that would not be a good plan for my situation. But for others, it would work really well.
Yeah. If you do a basin, the roots that do the uptake on the water are out at the far ends, and if you think about it, a tree having about the same structure underground as it has above ground, if you build a basin to put in a lot of water, you want to go right to the outer edge,
a big circle of where the
leaves are.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't want to water right up around the trunk because you can get rot.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that. Yeah.
Yeah, so you want a good sized basin.
Yeah, I have a little attachment on mine that does, you know, I can change the size of the circle. Uh-huh. And so I just put it down there and watch it, and it waters a circumference around the tree.
Yeah.
That seems to really, and they would perk up as soon as I did that. You know?
Yeah. And you want to get the roots to go down deep.
Yes.
So
otherwise you're just wasting the water. You need to know what you're doing. Yeah.
Infrequent and deep watering on perennials is the best thing. And so have you had to sort of triage and get rid of any crops?
Yeah, I kind of gave up on my broccoli.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, because my broccoli has not done well this year either.
Yeah, no.
I got little nubbins, but that was it.
You got more than me. I haven't even gotten little nubbins. So,
stop by after the show and I'll give you broccoli.
That I also had some shell peas that I just gave up on. Certain areas of the garden that I didn't have regular irrigation to, so they didn't get very well watered earlier before we had the restrictions. After the restrictions, I just kind of gave up on those areas.
Yeah.
And it was okay. You know, I would have liked to have that stuff, but you know, hey, I would rather have my fruit trees happy, because that's a lot more time and investment that I've spent in those. So.
Right, yeah. So protecting it with these kinds of dry summers, when we get these again, protecting the perennials, because mm-hmm. you've got, you know, like a fruit tree, you're five years into it
exactly.
before it even really begins to bear much. Yes. You don't want to lose that.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although it's been a great year for the fruit trees, too, so as far as bearing fruit. So
So there's a lot of things that people can do on irrigation, and this is a really good time of year to think about it. Think about putting in drip irrigation systems, and there are some cooperative extension flyers that are available with ideas on how to put in assorted watering kind of infrastructure.
I need to make myself avail myself of those, because I still need to figure it all out. So for next year, and you know, think about it, because I mean, if this is a trend that we're having where we're getting these dry summers, and so far it seems to be, we really need to pay attention to use effective use of watering. You know, of the water. So
there's a little spot where there's a lot of cooperative extension flyers going into. Housers.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
And I'm the one that puts those out there.
Oh,
so
thank you, because I read those. I collect them.
And I've got a ton of them. You know, it's kind of a backlog of what do people need now. So I have a bunch of them on drip irrigation and so on. Maybe I'll put those out.
Yes, perfect. Yes.
Because people should be thinking now about putting in infrastructures for next year. Remember, we get really, really busy in the spring, and in the fall, you know, of course, we're busy with fish and with harvesting our gardens, but it's not as frenetic as the spring.
Yes.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, so there's a lot of good tips on how to do drip irrigation kinds of systems, and I've farmed in California for many decades and have lots of, you know, experience with that, too, so... Yeah, anyway, triaging, getting rid of the stuff that, you know, you don't care too much about that are annuals. I've heard of people just pulling up their potatoes and so on.
I dug my potatoes a couple days ago.
Yeah. I've triaged a bunch of things out of my greenhouse that were done. You know, mm-hmm. they'd produced as much as they were going to. So it's been a very interesting, limiting year.
Yes.
And it's also the season of the woolly bears.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
They're cute but deceptive. Watch out for them.
A few weeks ago, Blythe, whoever was on the show read an email that you had sent them about the spotted tussock moth.
Yes.
What we are calling woolly bears. And all kinds of dangers. Can you review that for us?
First off, they are cute, but they are also they have. It's not a sting, but it feels kind of like a sting, and it's their bristles will break off in your skin, and it's like a fiberglass rash.
Ooh.
And it's very unpleasant. One of the doctors told me they had a reported case of it. Somebody came in with it this year. So it doesn't happen very often. But if you rub them really hard, those bristles will break off, and it'll just be an irritant for most people. But if you happen to be allergic to it, you can have like a anaphylactic shock reaction.
Oh,
so,
my goodness.
So yeah, handle with care, preferably only with gloves, and smush them, you know, with your foot or whatever. But yeah, don't squish them with your fingers, that's for sure.
Yeah. So any of you who are in the Save the Woolly Bears organization might want to not listen for a few minutes, because we're going to talk about how to kill those little monsters.
Yes. Yeah, they are everywhere. In fact, I had some hatch on one of my apple trees this year, and they created this like lattice-like web, not web, but lattice-like left over from the veins of the tree. It was really, it was almost like a lacy, it was almost kind of pretty.
It's pretty, it is pretty.
Yeah, but the tree obviously doesn't appreciate it.
No.
And then they kind of, after they get a little bit bigger, they travel all to the tips of the trees, and they'll eat all the fresh growth, and then just before winter sets in, they're gonna eat all the little buds that form for your next year's growth, you know, where they bud out. So
both the leaf buds and the fruit buds.
Yes.
And so do they turn into a moth or a butterfly or what is it?
All moths are kind of drab, but it's a sort of a tan moth with a orange underwings that they have. You know, as far as moths go, they're kind of pretty in a way, but yeah, not so pretty when they're eating all your all your fruit trees and
yeah.
So yeah, they cute, but not so cute if you have a lot of fruit trees in the garden. So
yeah. I got some BT. Actually, it's called Thuricide, T-H-U-R-I. Excuse me, I'm going to sneeze here in a minute.
Just talking about the woolly bears.
I'm allergic to woolly bears.
Yeah. She sneezed.
Yeah, I got Thuricide, T-H-U-R-I-C-I-D-E, at a local gardening store, and I've been spraying it a couple of times a day according to the directions, and seems to be working, but I'm not really sure. It has a form of BT, which is Bacillus thuringiensis, in it, but Thuricide itself is not approved for organic gardens. So, bad me. There are forms of BT that are approved for.
And yeah, that's spraying them directly
on the critter.
On the critter, which you could just as easily drag it off there and smush it.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, unless you've got just a ton of it. But as I understand it, with BT, you spray more broadly, and as the caterpillar eats the leaves, the BT, which is a bacteria, you know, kills the caterpillar.
Ah, okay.
But I do know that. Sorry about this, folks. Cutting them in half and/or stepping on them is a lot more effective.
Yes, and quite satisfying after you've seen the damage they do to your trees. So,
have you noticed a bunch of dead ones around your foliage?
What happens is that they really like honeyberries. They like blueberries a little bit. They like some other.
Yeah, honeyberries, raspberries, also.
Yeah.
They also like alder and willow and you know, all that kind of stuff too. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I've noticed them most in my garden on the honeyberries, but yeah. I haven't looked at the raspberries.
I have one ornamental crab apple that they absolutely adore. I'm pulling like 20 off of those a day. So,
ooh, yeah, yeah, and so I haven't, after I've sprayed with this Thuricide, I haven't seen them on the ground, but they, the honeyberries are actually in dryer drums and. So they fall off, and I can't really find them from there. And because of the bristles, I'm not really hunting them all that mm-hmm. much. But
fertilizer.
Yeah, anyway, so I'm going to order some organic BT for next year. And so what kind of hardscape planning are you doing for next year?
Well, hardscape planning, yeah. I'm a better irrigation is mm-hmm. one of the big things on my list of to-dos. I really want to get it down, so I've got, you know, even watering throughout the garden. I was having a problem with a lot of uneven watering. You know, part of a bed would get watered real well, and the other half of the bed got only marginally watered, which creates a really uneven crop.
Yeah. So are you using one of those long drip hoses that oozes water?
I have one of the hoses that it sprays up water a little ways.
Okay.
I find the drip irrigation doesn't travel very well in clay soils.
Uh-huh.
So but the ones that I have, they just don't evenly distribute the water. So I'm trying to find something that does evenly distribute the water. I don't want it to go very far, you know, just like a foot or so, mm-hmm. but I do want it to, you know, go...
To go that foot.
Go that foot, exactly.
Exactly,
yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. A couple things here. One is if the more organics that you add, the more compost you add to the soil, organics are really good at holding moisture.
Yes.
And so compost is always a good thing. And then if you have hoses that are either emitter hoses or the oozing hoses,
right.
they will tend to clog up with crystals from the hard water.
Ah, yes.
Yeah,
okay.
And so if you take the hoses off, find some kind of a metal edge someplace, and then just roll the hoses back and forth on that edge, and then flush them out. You can get rid of all of those crystals.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah,
okay.
So just very quickly, because we're running out of time, it's a perfect time of year to do some reflective record keeping. We have the realities of August staring at us rather than the optimism of March.
Yes.
So, you know, begin to really think about what you need to do and make some notes so that you will remember it in the spring.
Yes,
and
it's easy to get carried away in the spring.
Oh, yeah. It sure is. That's what springs are for. So anyway, happy harvesting, everybody, and thank you, Blythe, and thank you, Joni, and we'll be back on soon.
All right. Happy bug picking.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day. That was Melissa and Blythe with The Garden Conversation, heard here every Thursday morning around 8:45 on your community radio station, KHNS, Haynes, Skagway, and Clukwan.